faster than the wind when you're at the door. What's up? You're listening to the Electric Runway podcast, where fashion meets technology. I'm your host, Amanda Costco. Thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome back. Today on the show, we're speaking with one of Fashion Tech's youngest and most innovative designers. Danit Peleg is an Israeli fashion designer, most known for her work in 3D printing. She was one of the first designers to 3D print an entire collection from her home, and her creations have been covered internationally in the likes of Vogue, The New York Times, Wired, WWD, and more. Here to tell us about the challenges and opportunities of this new manufacturing technology is Danit Peleg. So, Danit, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, if Electric Runway is the DIY of media, you're definitely the DIY of fashion design. So, for those who don't know, could you tell us in your own words, who are you and what is Danit Peleg 3D?
Sure. So, I am a fashion designer. I studied fashion design, and I was always curious about the relationship between fashion and technology. So I was always like working with different kind of fashion technology, and that leads me to create, like, start a research about 3D printing and to see why people are not printing clothes. And that's basically how everything started. That's totally turned to be my career. And I'm always trying to, you know, to accomplish my vision and to bring this idea and to share my knowledge with, you know, as much people possible.
So when you were having that question in your head, why don't people 3D print their own clothes? What were you finding?
So I saw that we have these desktop printers, and I saw a few fashion designers that were using 3D printing in their work, but they were using these big industrial printers that cost a lot of money. And also the materials are very limited with this technology. So I saw that we have these machines that you can fit in your house, you know, and you can print bunch of stuff. Like, you can print cover for your phone or, you know, decoration for your house. So that's really me got me to think, like, why people are not printing textile with them, or is it possible to print clothes with them? Or, like, I was just wanted to see if it's that could be another tool in my work. Yeah, I was really curious to see if it's possible.
And so that actually led to your first collection, which was Liberty Leading the People. And you kind of rose to fame through this video that you published to social media about this collection and 3D printing it. And so why do you think it was that that video got so much attention? Like, what nerve did it strike?
First of all, I have to tell you that I didn't expect it to be so viral and, like, so many people will find it interesting. Honestly, it started just like I had 6 printers running in my studio in my house in Tel Aviv, and I was just printing 24/7, and my boyfriend, then now my husband, was really excited about this idea that it's like, you know, you're printing clothes from our house. It's like, it's pretty insane. I think we should document it, and I think we should share it, and I think we should tell people about it. And so basically one of my friends was the producer, you know, the other one was the videographer, and the model was my neighbor in Tel Aviv. And we really didn't take it so seriously. But once we posted it on Facebook, it got something like 5 million views in just 2 weeks. And I think the reason it went so viral is because it was something I was doing from my house. It started from because I was curious about to see if it's possible or not. It wasn't anything commercial. There is no big brands behind it, you know, and it was really pure creation and an inspiration that I had in mind that I just wanted to explore. And I think, you know, people felt it and found it, maybe also, you know, they found it very interesting to see, okay, is it possible our clothes are going to be digital? You know, like what happened with music, you know, or maybe they just find it interesting to see or pretty to see or, you know, different.
Yeah, I think because a lot of people maybe imagined what 3D printing could do for the fashion industry, but until they saw the video and how the clothes could actually come together and how they could move on the body, it wasn't a reality for them. And so all of a sudden it was being shown to them as a reality, and the video was so well done, the clothes were so beautiful. And for listeners who haven't seen it, we're going to put the video up on Electric Runway so they can take a look. But it really was that wow moment that kind of, in my mind anyway, sparked your career. And so since then, your work has received international attention from, you know, everything from the New York Times to Vogue to Forbes. And you're often pointed to as the kind of spokesperson for 3D printing and fashion. How do you feel about that?
I feel very lucky. I feel I have this opportunity to pass on my knowledge and thoughts and an idea and how I see the future of fashion. But also I feel lucky that I have the chance to give back to this community of makers, because I also learned from so many people. You know, when I started my research, I couldn't find so much information online. There's no one else have done it before, you know, printed clothes with this desktop machine. So I had to taught myself anything, everything, and also ask people online or find, you know, like groups on Facebook or, you know, or just like I went to this maker space where really they were so generous to teach me everything I know about 3D printing. But literally, when I started this project, I didn't know anything about it. And now I just feel like I, you know, I need to give back to this community and just pass on what I learn.
And so you now have a second collection out. It's called The Birth of Venus. What did you learn from your first collection that you then maybe altered or changed for the second collection in terms of like the form factor or the flexibility of the materials? What did you learn?
First of all, a few things has been changing this in the technology in between, which is kind of incredible. It used to take me like something like 300 hours to print a dress, and with this collection, I was able to do this in like 80 hours per dress. So it's like more than three times faster than, you know, in between these collections. So I think this is also really showed me and shows that this technology moving really fast, and it is a matter of time until we'll be able to print a dress in just a few hours or just a few minutes. But I think generally I learned better how to save from waste and how can I produce this collection. And the Birth of Venus was almost created with zero waste. So everything I produced was meant to be the front of the dress or the back of the dress or the sleeve of the jacket or, you know, etc. And then when I produced the pieces, they were meant to be something. That's why I come up with eventually with no waste at all, which is not something possible to do with regular fabrics. So I think the first collection really taught me how to use these printers in like the best way and how to be really, you know, how to do it like really officially. And then I just put all everything I know in the second collection, and I think it was much easier to create, but also very much environment friendly than the first one.
And you also had the opportunity to stress test one of the garments from The Birth of Venus when it took the stage at the Paralympic opening ceremony in Rio in 2016. As I understand it, a dancer wore the garment on stage for a performance. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So that was an incredible opportunity. Yeah, I just got a request a few weeks after I gave my talk at TED. I got a really special offer on my inbox from the committee who was organizing the Paralympics and the ceremonies for the Olympics in Rio. And they wanted to see if it's possible for me to create a dress for a really special segment. The dancer was... she's a double leg amputee. That's why it was at the opening ceremony of the Paralympic Games. But she's also a medalist for snowboard and Olympic medalist. And she was dancing. She was on stage dancing with a KUKA robot, which is an industrial robot, and wearing a dress that was made by a robot, because 3D printer is also a sort of a robot. And she was wearing her high-tech prosthetics, and it was so beautiful and so moving. And it was such an incredible opportunity to be there, you know, stand on the grass and see it in action. But it was really, really challenging to work on this dress because I didn't get a chance to meet with her in person before the event. And using this technology, I was able to send her a link to a really really simple app. And she could take 2 photos of herself and send it to me. And I got all of her measurements. Like I could have like a figure, like an avatar of her. And that's how I could put all this information on my computer and design the dress that will fit her like a glove. And when I arrived to the rehearsal, that was the first time I ever saw her, but the dress fits her like completely. So it was really amazing to see that I don't need to meet her, you know, in person or to meet my customers in person in order to create a dress or a garment that will fit them completely. So that was really amazing experience, and I decided to extend this dress to full collection, and that's how the birth of Venus started.
That's amazing. And as we understand it, Rio isn't the only place where your dresses have been. I've seen your collections exhibited in Bangladesh and all over the world. Can you tell us a little bit more about where you and your garments have traveled to?
Sure. So the past 2 years were busy and amazing and interesting, and I feel like really honored that I have the chance to show my designs and my creations to so many countries. And I've been to so many places, but I'll tell you about the special ones. I showed my collection in Sri Lanka and Singapore and Finland and San Francisco, of course, and New York, many places in Europe, in Paris, in Barcelona, in Berlin, London. It's been more than 20 countries in the past 2.5 years.
That's amazing. And, you know, in addition to building out this collection from the one dress and exhibiting it all over the world, you've also created a commercially available piece. It's the bomber. There's a, you know, bombers were very popular in the last 2 years. And so you've created one that people can actually go and customize on the website. They can pick the color, they can pick even the lettering on it, and then you print it out and send it to them. Can you tell us a little bit more about this process?
Sure. So yes, one of the items from my latest collection was actually this jacket. And I saw the warm, you know, feedback that I got for this garment specifically. And people really felt that this is like something they can wear on the street and, you know, it is really wearable. So I decided, why not to open this opportunity to more people to have a 3D printed garment. And this is literally one of the first or the only ready to wear garment you can ever buy online. And I wanted to see if it's possible, if in 2017, it's already possible to sell a 3D printed garment. And basically I built this platform that allowed my customers to customize it, but also to personalize it with their own names or colors. And then using the app that I told you about before, Netero, my customers are sending me their information and I print it for them. And of course, this technology is really, really at the beginning, and it's taken more than 100 hours to print each jacket. The production happens in Spain and they ship it to me. It's like a printing farm where I produce them. And then we do all of the assembling and the packaging and everything around it in Tel Aviv, and we ship it to the customer. So that's why the process is very, very complicated. But I wish that I won't need to be the part, you know, I won't need to be the side who also do the production of the jacket. I wish I could just sell you the file and you'll have, you know, in a few years, you'll have these printers in your house or in a store nearby or in office or schools, and people will be able to just buy the file and download it and create it by themselves.
So then you are basically, you know, being paid for the intellectual property of it, the design of it, but then they're doing the kind of manufacturing aspect of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Once the printers will be faster and we'll have better materials to print with, I think this will be something very casual to do.
That actually leads me to my next question. In 2015, you gave a TED Talk, and the title of it was Forget Shopping, Soon You'll Download Your New Clothes. And this video has been viewed more than a million times. How close are we to that future vision of manufacturing?
That's a great question. I mean, the printers became faster in between since they gave this talk, but we didn't see so many new materials coming up in this area of fashion. So I really think that once we'll have materials that will be more wearable, that, you know, maybe contain like fibers inside of them, or will feel more like wool or leather or silk, and of course the printers will be cheaper, that will be something possible to have. And I think it's going to take another few years until we'll have better solutions for the fashion industry. But I can promise you that I'm working on it. This is one of the things that I'm trying to solve, because I do want to, you know, to create, to make it to be a reality. And I feel like in order to do so, we just need to create, we need to do. And that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, it takes a lot of experimentation. And so your two collections that you have out now, do you think of them as ready-to-wear streetwear, or do you think of them more as collector's items?
I was really trying to keep in mind that my designs will look like regular fabrics, you know, like regular fabrics and regular clothing. So something that you, when you see on the street, you'll think, okay, this is a cool skirt. It's not, you know, it's not like a sculpture or a big like plastic structure or something on the body. I really try to create my textiles, and if you'll feel them, you'll be very surprised to see how soft they are and how flexible they are and how exactly they feel on the skin. But of course it is very, very expensive. So my customers today are like fashion schools, or collector for fashion, or museums. Of course it's not something for myself. I do have a few dresses and clothing that I wear on the street, and I get a really cool response, but it is very unique and you know, and different. But I can also tell you that the dress for the Paralympics, for example, that, you know, millions of people saw it in action, and the next day it was all over the newspapers in Brazil. Everyone were talking about our dress as it was a dress, you know, and no one really, you know, understand completely that it was 3D printed, because they really thought it was like a real fabric. So I found it also very interesting that, you know, that sometimes this textile, when you take it outside of the runway, people can actually think that it's a real textile.
Right. It brings us closer to that future where it's just part of our accepted reality. So I just have a couple more questions for you. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the collaborations that you've done. You mentioned, you know, the Olympics and Rio, but since launching your brand, Danit Peleg 3D, you worked with companies like Gerber and Netello. I wanted to ask more about these collaborations. How do you find these partners to work with? How do they find you? And what's the kind of benefit?
Sure. So my partners, and also with, for example, Gerber Technology, we had an amazing creative partnership in the past 3 years already. And each of one of the companies are curious to see what is the next step with 3D printed fashion. So we kind of have a really interesting and creative collaborations with all of them. So for example, Recres for the filaments, that the company who produced the filaments that I am using, or the printers company, are always wanted to know like what is the next thing, what is possible to do with their tools already today, and where exactly it might end up. So basically I have a relationship with every part of, you know, of like of my recipe, let's call it this way. So Gerber Technology are the largest company for pattern making for clothing. So if you want to design one of my, you know, a 3D printed garment, you need to create a pattern first of the garment. Just like everything else you're wearing today was made with a software. So Gerber Technology is the largest company to do so, and we're trying to produce their software to be smarter enough so you can actually design a garment and then send to print. So this is an example. Or with the printers, I always test their latest printers, and we're talking about what could be better. And that's why we were able to reduce the time that it takes to print. And now the BQ, the Wheatbox printers, are actually working better with printing textile than printing, you know, indoor design stuff or like plastic parts or, you know, or other things. They work better with for fashion than anything else. So, yeah, so I think these companies are also understanding the potential of 3D printed fashion, and they're trying to, and they're giving me their tools, and I share with them my experience and my thoughts about it.
Yeah, it sounds like a great relationship with Gerber in particular. So in your opinion, what are the barriers for 3D printing right now? I mean, you talked about the material. There's not a lot of options right now. What else is standing in the way of everybody 3D printing their clothes at home?
There are a few limitations right now, but not on the design side. That's the fun part about it. Like, you can literally print anything you have in mind. So this is a great start. But then when I want to produce a dress or to print a jacket, I had to print them in many, many pieces, and then I had to assemble them together. So it's like a 3D puzzle. That's because I have these printers that you can put in your on your desktop, but there are larger printer with the same technology that I am using with a big plate. But when we're talking about printing from home, that could be a limitation. But I believe it will change, and printers will look different than they look today. And that's how you'll be able to print a textile with like nonstop. So basically, the size of the printer, it's one of the limitation. Of course, the material, the time that it will take you, the price that it cost, and, you know, and we need more and more. We need more fashion designers that will create files and you know, and open their designs with people. So this technology will grow and, you know, and get stronger and
become more accessible too, right? Because it's like you're talking about with printers and fax machines, they used to be back in the 80s and 90s, these giant machines that would, you know, sit in industrial offices. But now I have a desktop printer that can print color, you know, photos right on my desk here. And so hopefully one day I'll have one that's a 3D printer and I can print out my accessories or the parts to my dress one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the opportunities, do you think, right now for 3D printing and design?
Okay, so there are a few big benefits when you 3D print clothes. And I always like to compare it to what happened to the music industry. Because, you know, music used to be a very physical thing. And we had to go to the shop and buy CDs in order to listen to music. But now you can just, you know, download the music directly to your phones. And I believe fashion will also be more and more digital. And the benefits, once it will be digital like this, you know, basically I can email you my dresses right now. All of my designs are files and they're on my computer. So there is no shipping cost to it. I can just email you a dress. And if you are on the other side of the world and you have this printer, you can just print it by yourself. So it's really easy to change, you know, to customize it. So this dress will fit exactly to you. Once we'll have better materials, you'll be able to see if it's like a sunny day outside, so you can print it with cotton, or if it's cold, you can print it with wool. So you're also part of you're being part of the creation itself. You're being part of the design as well, because you're choosing with which material you want to print it. You can customize it and take one sleeve from one dress and another front from a different dress and create this combination. So of course, so it's not only the shipping cost, but it's also that it costs us to the world to ship the clothing from one side to another. And I really see this technology as an alternative to, you know, to these mass productions of designs and brands that create a lot of designs that sometimes we really don't want to buy, and they end up under our ground, or, you know, or we're just not buying them. So I think now we'll have the voice to just say what we want to have. And for young designers, they don't need to have like a huge inventory. They can just have all of their files on the computer and they can learn from their customers what their customers liking better and with before they actually go and produce them, you know? So there is like a sort of like it's taking the making fashion to be more democratizing fashion. And also today, already today, I am able to recycle my designs and my clothing or my leftovers, and it is possible to recycle 3D printing materials and then create new filament out of them and print a different dress out of it. So I really hope this will happen with fashion as well. You'll be able to recycle your dress that you don't want anymore and create new material and print different garment out of it. And then it's going to be like endless use. Of course, the personalization, customization that you can do with 3D printing.
Yeah, I'm really excited for, you know, to finally order my own jacket and get something cool written on the back. But I really like the sustainability aspects that you touched on, both in the sense that there's zero waste, because you were saying with the Birth of Venus collection, you printed only what you needed. It's print on demand, so you can only make it once it's ordered. And then also this idea of recycling filaments. I didn't know that you could, you know, take an old dress and then break down the pieces and make it into something new with 3D printing. So that's really exciting. Denise, thank you so much for your time. And I just wanted to ask, how can people follow you and stay in touch with what you're doing?
Thank you so much, Amanda. I'm really excited to be part of it. And you can find everything we talked about today on my website. You can also learn about the process of the way I work. So everything is on danitpeleg.com. I'm also excited to share with you that today I'll be launching a new course for 3D printed fashion for beginners. So if you're all interested to learn more, I created this workshop and it's 3 days and cover the 3 years of experience. So I'm really excited about it. And on Instagram, it's danitpeleg3D. So you'll be able to see the next collection that I'm working on. And yeah, keep in touch.
Absolutely. And we'll put the links to the workshop, especially up on our website. Denise, thank you so much for your time and for your great work. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Sometimes I feel real low.
That was my conversation with Denise Peleg, a fashion designer known for her work in 3D printing. For images and video of everything discussed on the program today, we invite you to visit electricrunway.com/thepodcast. That's where you'll also find all past and future episodes of the program. You can also find the Electric Runway podcast available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. For daily fashion tech freshness and a behind-the-scenes look into our brand, we invite you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're at electric_runway. That's it for today's episode. Until next time, here's looking towards the future. Music from today's episode by Andrew Applepie.